our souls can be continually burdened with pressing issues that we must bring before the Lord in prayer. There are many of these issues that can be personal, they can affect our lives, and we do lay them before the Lord as is directed in Matthew 6 in the secrecy of our closet. And there are matters that can concern our service for the Lord, matters that are like the trials and tribulations and burdens that we have to bear in life. Some of these issues can be about our relationships with others, the attitudes that we adopt as we approach our various tasks and activities in life. But all of these things we can take before the Lord in prayer, and we are right to do so. For the Lord listens to the cries of his people. Jeremiah the prophet had his life threatened in previous chapters. And here, in chapter 12, such a case is before us in the verses that we have read together in Jeremiah bringing something before the Lord. A matter that troubled him. A matter that burdened him. And he brings these things before the Lord to speak to the Lord and to obtain an answer from him. He is concerned over a particular issue, and that issue is mainly the prospering of the wicked in his day. The prospering of the wicked in his day and his generation. We see this in the verse 1. He speaks to the Lord. He says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" And as the prophet looked upon the land and upon the nation, he saw the prospering of the wicked. He saw those that knew not the Lord, who lived in disobedience to the commandments of God, who rebelled against God, prospering in the land. Now this prospering was not a spiritual growth, but it was that material prosperity, whether it be in wealth or physical power. But he saw wickedness as well prosper in the land. And as the man of God, he wondered how God could allow these things to take place. Surely these people ought to be judged for their sin and for their rebellion and for their wickedness. But the Lord comes to him, and this is recorded for us, not only for the prophet, but for our own earning as well. The Lord hears what Jeremiah has to say, and he comes with an answer. And we have this answer contained in the verse 5. The Lord says to him, "If thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" The Lord's answer came because of what Jeremiah had pleaded with him. There was that grievance on behalf of Jeremiah. He was genuinely concerned that the wicked were prospering. This was a matter that was real to him. And in life there are many matters and concerns that are real to us, and we bring them before the Lord in prayer. And the Lord gives us answers, but this answer that came from the Lord concerning Jeremiah was an answer that maybe we wouldn't quite expect. It is an answer that is in the form of a rebuke. "If thou hast run with footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" I want us to consider then today this text, a heavenly word for the hardships of the work. A heavenly word for the hardships of the work. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. He was serving the Lord. Yet there are hardships that he faced. But even we could apply it to our own lives. And personally, there are hardships, there are trials that we all have to face. Here is a message from the Lord. In this rebuke that he gives to Jeremiah, there are things that we should consider. I want you to see firstly here that the stress is to be accepted. The stress is to be accepted. The text says in the verse 5 that thou hast done with footmen, and they have wearied thee. Then how canst thou contend with horses? At the end of that verse it says, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Jeremiah's problem was with the prosperity of the wicked. But the Lord says to him, and the Lord is certainly implying that in the future there are greater trials that will come, greater problems, greater hurdles that he will have to overcome. The prospering of the wicked was not something that was Jeremiah's greatest trial. The Lord is saying there are greater things still to come. He was running with the footmen, but he would one day have to run with the horses. These trials would be intensified. But he had to accept that such things would take place. He saw the prospering of the wicked as a trial, a hurdle in his life. But the Lord is saying that in the future, there will be more trials. There will be trials that will be more intense that you will have to face. We, as the people of God, we will be called the sons of God, the children of the King. But in regard to the sons of God, there's a Puritan who said that God has only one son without sin, but none without affliction. None without affliction. And in life, we all have our trials. We all have our afflictions to bear. The comparison here is made concerning footmen. These were men or runners whom Jeremiah metaphorically ran with. But God is saying that time will come when these men, these footmen, will stand aside. They will be replaced. And will be horses. Horses running alongside. How canst thou contend with horses? Soon the time will come when he will have to quicken the pace to keep up with the horses. Notice the last phrase of this verse as well. Then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? The illustration here in view is what we could say, the river Jordan overflowing its banks. There was that time of year when such a thing happened, and the swelling of Jordan, we could say, is a figure, it's a metaphor for extreme danger. Of course, there are those commentators who say that it was the little overflowing of its banks, and therefore it would have been a hazard, it would have been dangerous. There are those who say that based on the original Greek word that's used here for swelling, that the word here can denote majesty or pomp or pride. And there is that thought that maybe it's not the swelling of the Jordan in regard to its banks, but those creatures, those wild beasts, the lions that lived and made their habitat around the wooded banks at the side of the Jordan. But whatever the view is here, whatever the scriptures mean by this, whether it is the overflowing of the banks, whether it is the wild beasts contained alongside the river, there is danger. Whatever view we take, there is danger here. There is that increase of trial. The Lord is perhaps saying, how wilt thou do when the lions and the wild beasts come upon you? And the illustration used is very striking, because if we consider wild beasts, the enemies of God's people are like wild beasts. The devil himself is like a lion who roameth about, who roars, seeking whom he may devour. But in the previous chapter as well, we can read of Jeremiah's life being threatened. But there were more trials to come. In chapter 37, we can read of him being in prison. In chapter 38, he was in a dungeon or in a pit. And Jeremiah, of course, sank down into the mire. He had those great trials to face. But the people of God, in every generation, not only in the times of Scripture, but in the times of the reformers, had great trials to face. And believers today have their trials to face. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll see something concerning this. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is the chapter that contains those records of many men of faith, men who served God, men who stood firmly for the Lord, men who saw great and mighty works done through the power of God in their life. But in Hebrews 11, verse 36, it speaks of some of the things that the saints of God had to suffer, had to endure. Verse 36, when others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. There are those who are of the opinion that the prophet Isaiah was sawn asunder. The apostle Paul himself endured three trials as well. Many believe that he ended his life as one of those Christian martyrs in the Colosseum in Rome. But if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll see some of the trials that Paul had to face. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. It says, of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And here we have the Apostle Paul's testimony to those things that he had to endure in life. Some of these things we perhaps have never faced. Believers in the past have face similar things that they sought to live for Christ. But perhaps we ourselves haven't faced these things. Maybe one day we will. Maybe one day we will. The Apostle Paul was stoned and was beaten, was shipwrecked, was in danger by his own countrymen. So was Jeremiah. His countrymen hated him and the message which he brought from God. And many of our countrymen will hate those who sound out the gospel of Christ. There will be that hatred. When we consider these things, there are no doubt that there are great trials that can come upon believers, who can come upon the servants of God. Job was a man who endured great trial and great hardship. But he's a man who at the end of Job 1, after losing his family, his sons, his daughters, his children, his livestock, his servants, his wealth. It says at the end of chapter 1 that in all this he charged God, he didn't charge God foolishly. In all those things he did not sin. What a testimony that is to the child of God, Job. He came to the realization that despite these things, God was in control. And God is in control of our situations. The Lord permits things to happen to us. The purpose of God in all things is his own glory. And when the wicked prosper, when we could say with Jeremiah, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper, we could say as well that God has a plan and a purpose. When the wicked prosper, God has a plan. God has a purpose. When a particular trial comes upon us, God has a plan. God has a purpose. We may not always understand that plan. We may not always recognize God's purpose. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But God does have a purpose. There is that great plan to everything that we face. The Christian life certainly is not a life that is easy. Believers and unbelievers all have their individual needs. They all have the trials of life they have to face. But the believer is one who does not tread the path alone, for the Lord Jesus Christ is with them day by day, helping them, upholding them, giving them that strength, carrying us when our strength fails us. Christ is with his people. And there are trials that will come that will be more intense than others. God was saying to Jeremiah that there will be more problems, greater problems, on the way. And that is solemn for us, the people of God, to consider. Maybe we've faced our greater problems. Maybe one day we will face greater problems, greater trials. We do not know what is around the next corner for us. There could be a situation that could come our way this week. Something that we never thought of. Something we never dreamed would happen. But yet, in the course of this week, it could happen to us. Some trial, some problem, something we could face in our service for the Master. But we must accept that trials come from the Lord. Trials come from the Lord. It was Matthew Henry who said that God's usual method being to begin with smaller trials, it is our wisdom to expect greater than any we have yet met with. When we consider the world, and I know very little about Australia and the government in Australia, but certainly back home in the United Kingdom, the government is passing laws and hoping to pass laws that are completely unscriptural or wrong or sinful. And Christians are met with that and have to face that and take their stand against these things. I'm sure here there are similar things that maybe take place. And the world is getting worse. The world is intensifying in its stance against the scriptures and standing against the word of God and against the people of God. And yet, when we consider those things, certainly trials will increase. Certainly persecution could come again like it faced believers in days of old. The intensifying of trials, the contending with forces. Jeremiah was told by God that these things would come, that trials, difficulties would intense. When trials do come in our lives, do we accept them as God's will? Do we see them as part of his plan, part of his divine purpose? We may not understand it as we say it, but do we accept it as part of God's plan? He is infinitely wise. He is infinitely above us. Do we trust him? Do we accept these trials? But then we see secondly here, the difficulty to be acknowledged. The difficulty to be acknowledged. If I was run with fruit men, and they have weary thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee. The Lord draws attention here not only to the fact that more trials will come, but he points out that Jeremiah has difficulty in his service for the Lord. There was a problem which he had, not the problem he came to the Lord with, but the problem that, the difficulty that, yes, he was running with good men, but he was weary. He was wearied by those smaller trials, and when the greater trials would come, the question is asked, really, how will he contend with those? How will he face them? We must see this certainly in light of the previous point that there were more intense trials to come his way. And God is telling Jeremiah very straight, very blunt, that you are struggling here. There is a difficulty. You're feeling to run with a footman. These intense trials, the horses are coming, the Jordan is swelling. How will you
contend, how will you face these things?
You're in a land of peace,
yet you are weary.
Jeremiah had to acknowledge before the Lord that he had difficulty in dealing with these trials, the small tasks
that tried and they had tested him. But sadly, he has been found wanting.
When we consider Jeremiah, we see him as one of the great men of God. A man who stood for God, yet here in this passage we read of a struggle, a trial that he faced in life. The servants of God are not some kind of supermen that do not face trials, do not have problems, do not have difficulties, do not have lapses of faith. The servants of God are ordinary men, ordinary women who face trials, who face difficulties, like we all do. Moses had his trials. David had his problems. David even had his sins that the Lord pointed out to him. Jeremiah had difficulties. Peter had problems. And going through the Word of God, all these men, great servants of God, who we would set up as an example to the believer, they had problems and trials and struggles with their own personal walk with God, we could say. Jeremiah certainly was struggling here, and many of us, certainly all of us, can connect with that. There are times where we do not know how we will face the difficulties, the trials that will come our way. Jeremiah did not have an easy task. He had to stand against the rebellion of the nation. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, we see the Lord's commission to him. In verse 5, the Lord ordained him to be a prophet unto the nations. In verse 6, he told the Lord that he couldn't speak, for he was a child. In verse 7, the Lord tells him, saying, not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord puts his words into the mouth of the prophet. In verse 10 it says, see, I have this day set thee over the kingdoms, and over nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. In verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And here we could say that Jeremiah was the man that God raised up. God taught him, God put words in his mouth. And Jeremiah was enabled by God to stand basically against every single person in the land. He was the man of God who stood almost alone against the nation. Verse 18, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests, against the people. Jeremiah was God's instrument. That was not an easy task. Standing up as a lone voice against the people of the nation, albeit speaking the words that God had given to him, but yet, what a task it was. It was not easy. And he had that difficult position in the service of God. And the tasks that we do sometimes are not easy. Whether it be witnessing to friends and family, whether it be serving the Lord, whatever aspect, these things are not easy. We can face trials and we can face difficulties. Here the footmen in Jeremiah chapter 12 can certainly picture small tasks. Maybe if we apply it to the believer, it could be the conquering of certain sins in our lives that will hold us back. The cultivation of bad habits that can cause us problems when the horses come alongside and begin to stretch their legs. And because we have not conquered sin, because we have not put to death those things
within us that will rise up and destroy us, as it were. We have problems when we try to contend with the horses. If we consider ourselves, have we struggled with similar circumstances to Jeremiah in our own lives? Trials that certainly, yes, they can be real to us and genuine concerns, but yet, how have we struggled with them? Like Jeremiah, have we found that difficulty? Have we been wearied keeping up in those trials that could be deemed as small in comparison to what could come in later life? But as the people of God, we must always acknowledge our faults. We must always recognize our inability and our failings. As humans, we always make mistakes. We're not immune from failure. Many of us, if we were to testify, have failed the Lord time and time again. We have failings, we have mistakes. But yet, we need that humble spirit within us, by the help of God, to acknowledge those failings. The only way we can progress is by acknowledging the failings, the mistakes that we have made. These words that came from the Lord to Jeremiah must have seemed awful to one who was undergoing that particular trial in the work of God. They were told that they were weary. They were told that they could not face what would come upon them later on in the service of God. But sometimes there needs to be that rebuke to us in order to see the difficulty that needs to be faced. If we consider Matthew chapter 14, the verse 29. Matthew 14, verse 29. Here we have Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is walking on the water and Peter wants to come out off the boat to walk to the Savior. And verse 29, he does that. The verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter thought that he could manage. When he jumped into the sea to walk to Christ, he thought he had the ability, the capability to walk across to the Savior. But yet, he took his eyes off Christ. He looked around at the boisterous wind. He looked around at the storm that was taking place around him. He looked at the waves, and fear began to sink into him. He realized the problems there, and he began to sink. He took his eyes off Christ, he focused on the circumstances, and he began to feel. The Lord said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? O thou of little faith. When the trials of life come, we need to keep our eyes on Christ. We shouldn't look to what is going around us, the problems, the boisterous wind, the waves. We should keep our eyes on Christ. Then finally here, the deficiency to be addressed. The deficiency to be addressed. It says in this verse, the verse 5 of Jeremiah 12, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? The great lesson of Jeremiah 12, verse 5. The teaching by which God seeks to instruct Jeremiah is that there is a deficiency in his life that needs to be addressed. There is a problem that needs to be sorted. There is something that needs to be fixed within him. The Lord is saying, Jeremiah, you're struggling with trials. These are minor in comparison as to what will come, but you have been failing with the smaller trials. How will you cope? How will you run with horses? How will you survive the swelling of Jordan? Jeremiah, these things need to be addressed. They need to be dealt with. And therefore, the key lesson is that we must be prepared to face the swelling of Jordan. We must be prepared to contend with horses. We must have preparation. Recently, my father and my brother wanted to do a charity cycle for Mary Shirley Cancer back home in Northern Ireland, a charity that would look after those who are suffering from that terrible affliction. I don't know whether you have something similar here, but it's a charity that relies on donations and help from the outside. And my father has got into cycling, and so has my brother. And I have as well, and I've been that busy that it's hard to take time to do it. But they decided they would cycle from my house, just across the road from the McGillan Free Presbyterian Church, up to Port Rush, which is a distance of around 60 miles. I think you're working in kilometres here. I think that's maybe 100 kilometres, I'm not too sure. It may not be a big distance to you here, but certainly back home, it is a very big distance. And a number from the church cycled as well. But that morning, they just didn't wake up and decide, we're going to cycle to Port Rush. There were weeks of practice, weeks of preparation, going out in the bike, cycling 10 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles, cycling 50 miles, so that when the day came where they had to cycle 60 miles, they would not give up at 10 or 20. They could keep going until the end. Certainly, it's the same in anything we want to do, whether it's running, whether it's football. There were some here who got me out on the football pitch yesterday. I think they were trying to assassinate me or something without getting into trouble. But it must have been about 27, 28 degrees heat, and we must have played for about an hour and a half. And I don't know how I'm standing here today, but certainly in normal circumstances there would be that preparation before you go out to play football. The only preparation I have was something, but there should be that preparation, otherwise we're going to fail, otherwise we're going to give up. And the same is true here. Jeremiah in future has to have that preparation in order to meet those trials. When we serve the Lord, we must have preparation to serve God, whatever it may be. And certainly, there's a great lesson here that we must prepare ourselves. Proper preparation has its origin in the Lord. He knows what lies before us. He is the one who can give that perfect guidance and that help that we need. He is the rock and the fortress to his people. The Apostle Paul, in his prison cell, rejoiced time and time again in the Lord. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 4, I believe, Paul rejoiced again and again in Christ. Where was he? He was in the prison cell. He was in the swelling of Jordan for him, yet he rejoiced. How great it would be if when we faced the horses and the swelling of Jordan, that we ourselves can be so built up in our faith that we rejoice in these trials. That Christ's presence is so near to us that we accept them, that we certainly, like Paul, rejoice. Ebenezer Erskine was a Scottish minister, a preacher, around the 1700s. And he suffered many hardships and trials in his personal life as he sought to serve the Lord. He saw the death of two wives and 6 out of 15 children. When his first wife was on her deathbed at the age of 39, he had already buried several of his children. He went to his diary and he penned these words. He said, I have had the rod of God laid upon my family by the great distress of a dear wife on whom the Lord hath laid his hand. But oh, that I could proclaim the praises of his free grace, which has paid me a new and undeserved visit this day. He has been with me both in secret and public. I find the sweet smells of the rose of Sharon, and my soul was refreshed with a new sight of him, and the excellency of his person as Emmanuel, which is God with us, and in the sufficiency of his everlasting righteousness. My sinking hopes are revived by the sight of him. My bonds are loosed, and my burdens are of affliction are made light when he appears. But then he says, here I am, let him do to me what seemeth good unto him. If he call me to go down to the swellings of Jordan, why not, if it be his holy will? Only be thou with me, Lord, and let thy rod and staff comfort me, and then I shall not fear to go down to the valley of trouble, yea, through the valley of the shadow of death. How wonderful those words were. A man who accepted the trials as part of God's plan, but a man who rejoiced. A man who found joy in the Savior despite these things. And when the swelling of Jordan came, he was happy to face it. As long as God was with him, he knew his Savior was with him. When you think of those words in Isaiah 43, but thou, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, Jesus formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The swelling of Jordan will not overflow those who rest upon their God. The horses will not overtake those whose trust is upon God. Those who know that the presence of God is with them. The Apostle Paul said concerning the problems that he faced and the thorn in the flesh. He said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That was after the Lord had said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we can have strength for the trials. The Lord can give us strength to contend with the horses. Strength that comes from him. Let us seek the Lord for the strength. Let us have the help that we need from him. The Apostle Paul did not have the physical or mental strength needed to combat such a thorn in the flesh. We're not too sure what exactly the thorn in the flesh was, whether it was a physical ailment, but God gave him that grace that he desperately needed, the help that he needed to face this particular thorn, this particular problem. But the power of Christ will fit us for running with horses. The Lord will part the rivers of Jordan so we can pass through like the fold. In the valley of Elah, there was a young lad who ran out once to face a giant. A young lad who took with him not just some stones from the brook, but the knowledge and the encouragement that God had helped him in past trials. He had helped him to defeat a bear and a lion. And that encouragement was with him as he went to face the giant. And as we prepare ourselves, and as we seek to live for the Lord, let us look towards our former trials, our former problems. Let us consider how God has helped us through them. Let us take that encouragement and that help into those trials that will come. We know the Lord has helped us in the past. He will certainly help us in the future. Let us prepare ourselves for whatever may come before us. We do not know what will happen. We do not know what a day may bring forth. But let us make sure that this deficiency, if it is present within us, is addressed. But let us make sure that we are close to the Lord day by day, that we have his power, that we have his help, that we certainly have his comfort. But let's consider these things. The Lord writes his word upon our hearts, and may we find that encouragement, that help, that strength from the Lord. When the trials come, let us rest in him. And the Lord bless his word this morning for his name's sake. Amen. Going to close in prayer. Let us close the meeting. Let us thank the Lord for his presence here. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank thee for thy word. And we pray that thou wilt bless it to each and every heart. Father, we think of Jeremiah, a great man who served thee. But yet, there were these problems that he had to face. This deficiency in his life that had to be addressed. But we thank thee that when the problems of life come, there is one there for us. And we pray that we would rest upon thee, that we would know that thou art with us. And we thank thee for the Savior, the great shepherd, who takes that care of his flock. And so, Father, we pray that thou will undertake for us, undertake for thy children. And bless us, we pray. Father, we do think of those who are outside of Christ. And certainly there is that connection between the swelling of Jordan and the great judgment on the last day, when we will cross over Jordan, as it were, when the storms of judgment will come upon the unseen. Father, we pray that they too would make preparation to face thee in judgment, preparation in accepting Christ as Savior. And Father, we pray that the swelling of Jordan would not overflow them, because they have their faith, their trust in the Savior. So speak, we pray, and bless thy word and do us good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.